Well, this morning, as I was early this morning, I was up around 3:30, and as I was praying, and I got remembering, as I was thinking about this message today, my neighbor up the road. My neighbor was Malcolm Angus McFarlane, and Louise knew him well. And Malcolm Angus, he did everything with horses, and he was the old-time school, and he had all the horse-drawn equipment, and one thing that he had that nobody else had around was a seeder. And the seeder was the piece of machinery that could sow the seeds. It would had all the little tubes on it. I was very fascinated with it. It was looked like a very kind of a complicated piece of equipment. But back then, there was no tractor-drawn seeder around. And so he got hired out many times. He would go to people's fields after it was plowed and ready to put the seed down with the seeder. And I can remember him coming to our farm and seeding land there. Well, he did up his own land down below the road, and he got it all plowed and ready, and he was a very meticulous man. And he bought his seed. He bought the mixture of timothy and clover, and I think there was probably another one in there. My memory doesn't serve me that well anymore. But he bought the seed, and he went to got it at the co-op, and then he seeded his field. Well, lo and behold, when the field came up, there was a strange weed in amongst his seeds. And he was very upset. Where did this weed come from? It had never been seen in Cape Breton before. Matter of fact, it's a native of Ontario, so. And it's called smooth bed straw. And that weed is now everywhere in Cape Breton. And that's where it came from. And Malcolm was very upset because there was something wrong with the seeds, right? It wasn't a pure order of seed. There was something mixed in with that seed. And it still wreaks havoc. I can see it all through my fields. And I don't like it, and it's really hard to get rid of. It spreads underground, and it spreads above ground, by seed and by root. And so great care needs to be taken with seed. It really does. And, if you're a gardener, that's one of the highlights, I think, for gardeners in the spring of the year is to get their seed, to get ready to plant, to put their garden in. And, I stay away from it because it seems like I'm really good at growing weeds. But as far as growing a garden, I'm not very good at it. I can look after a herd of cows. I can make hay all you want, anything like that. But when it comes to gardening, I just don't have the green thumb. But many people do. And they grow beautiful gardens. My cousin Marcel is one of them. He lives on Lake Ainslie. And it's an incredible place to walk in his yard. It's just flowers in one corner and corn in another. And it's just amazing. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to put a seed in the ground and then watch something come from that. Watch it grow. How amazing a seed is. That contained in a small seed is life. Contained in a small seed is a new beginning. Contained in a small seed is fruit and abundance. All of that in a little seed. Now the Lord, as he began to teach the disciples here in Luke chapter 8, it says, verse 4, when a great multitude had gathered, and they came to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I got to tilt my head here. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now this parable, I'm not going to do it this justice by sharing this in one lesson. So I'm going to do three, I believe, lessons in this parable, at least two. So you have to come back next week, even if you're from Ontario or Annapolis Valley or wherever. But what I want to focus on today, like there are three major, items in this passage of Scripture. There is the sower. There is the seed, and there is the what? No, the soil. Three S's. You can remember that? The sower, the seed, and the soil. Now, what I want to do today is talk about the seed first. Because if you don't have the good seed, it doesn't matter what kind of a sower you are, right? Malcolm was a good sower. He was meticulous in everything that he did. His cedar was working perfectly. He did everything right. He had the soil absolutely the way it was supposed to be. But the problem was he had the wrong seed. Now, some of it was good, but some of it wasn't. And so what I want to focus on today is you've got to be sure that you've got good seed, because every other effort goes to waste. Does that make sense? Even if you had that soil all tilled up and ready and you drop the wrong kind of seed in it, you're not going to get what you were looking for. It's just not going to happen. So I'm going to start with the seed first. And I want us to think about what this seed is. And we already know what it is. The seed is what? The Word of God. And so when we consider the Word of God, that's what I want to do today. Just for a few moments this morning, I want you to think about God's Word and what it means and what it is. Because without that seed, without the Word, where do we go? What do we have? And we're going to look at a few verses here. And the revelation of the Word of God, Hebrews 1:1, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And so we have the revelation of God was given in the Old Testament through the prophets, right? So what it says? But now he has spoken by his Son. And so we have this complete revelation. And this is a beautiful passage of Scripture that shows us the completeness of the revelation of God, that God spoke through men and even spoke through angels, but finally he has spoken by his Son. And indeed, when you look through the Scriptures, you'll find that the whole of the Word of God is focused around one person. And who's that? Jesus Christ. It's focused around Jesus Christ. Now, we have to understand that the Bible is God's means of conveying to you the truth about God. God wants to speak to the human race. I don't know if you ever woke up in the morning and said, well, I wish God would just talk to me. I wish I could hear his voice speak to me directly. Now, a couple of times in my experience, I've heard God speak in an audible voice. But that doesn't happen every morning. And I was pretty freaked when it did. But he generally speaks through his word. He speaks in many other ways. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks in prayer. He speaks through others, other believers. There's all kinds of ways that God speaks. But his primary way that God reveals truth to the human race is through the Bible. And if there's any other speaking going on, you'll want to check it with the Bible to see if it's God speaking, right? We have to make sure that it is from the Word of God. And Jesus Christ was called the very Word himself. And in John chapter 1, it speaks about Jesus being the Word. He was, the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the reason why he was given the title of the Word, because the Word was a revealer. It was a title showing that Jesus was, God was revealing himself to man. And that's what the Bible is. It's the revelation of God. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to us. God wants you to know him. But you're not going to get to know him without the Word. You're going to need to know the Word of God in order to get to know him. And so when this precious seed is when we go out sharing this seed, we go out to share the Word of God. If you're a Christian today, you need to share the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian, what you need to receive is the Word of God, which the Bible says the engrafted Word is able to save your soul. Imagine, able to save you, able to bring you into salvation. How incredible is that? And so the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But how do I know that Jesus walked on earth almost 2,000 years ago? How do I know what He said, what He had to say? I know through what? The Word of God. So we have the living Word, Jesus Christ, and we have the written Word in the Bible itself. So praise the Lord. We can know the truth about who God is. I love this verse in 1 Timothy 3:16. It speaks about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And without controversy, without dispute, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Imagine, look at that. Justified in the Spirit. Seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What a summary statement. But where do I find it? In the Bible. If you don't have the Word of God, you don't know who Jesus is. You don't get that revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." John 5:39. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. And then we find this, I love this other statement here in Luke 9:29. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered. This is Jesus on the mountain. And it says, his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease which he would accomplish at Jerusalem. And I love this passage of Scripture because it shows the representatives of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, meeting with Jesus on a mountain. And what was their purpose? To speak about the cross, that he would die on the cross. So the Old Testament's purpose is revealed even in this passage of Scripture. It was to point to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was the whole purpose. And that's what they spoke about. His death that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. All wrapped up in the Bible. So we know that the purpose of the Scriptures is for what? John 5:39. They are they which testify of me. The purpose of this seed of the Word of God is to reveal Jesus Christ to the world. Praise God. That's what it's for. And the other thing about the Word of God is that it carries an authority with it that no other book has. It doesn't matter what other book there is. It doesn't matter what other writings there are in the world. The Bible carries an authority with it, and it's the authority of Jesus Christ. We see that authority here when they went to arrest Jesus in John 7:44. And some of them wanted to take him, and no one laid hands on him. And then the officers came, and the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" And the officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." No one ever spoke like Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Jesus, when he stood in Nazareth and said, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel." And I want you to know something. God still anoints people to preach the gospel. God still anoints people to go with the seed of the Word of God and share it. And in one sense, he has anointed all of his people. If you're a Christian, then the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If the Holy Spirit hasn't come upon you, then you're not a Christian. Is that plain? Yes. And if the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he has anointed you to take this wonderful seed of the Word of God and to sow with it. Praise God that he gives you that privilege. And there's authority that comes with the Word. Not your authority, but God's authority that comes with the Word. So that when truth is spoken, it pierces, it divides, it reveals. It shows the things that are real and things that are not. It shows people what they're like, and it also shows people what God is like. And we know this classic answer of Jesus Christ in the face of the devil's temptation. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." But I love this passage because it says, "But by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Not some of the words, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what Jesus had to say. And he was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Because what did he say? It is what? Written. He referred to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 8, 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? If you want to know God, you do need to know the Bible. It is not an insignificant thing. Now, some people can read the Bible and study it and dissect it and not get a thing out of it. That's possible. As a matter of fact, in the parable that we read, in the story that Jesus said, he spoke in a parable so that seeing people wouldn't see and hearing they wouldn't hear. And why was that? Because some people were bent not to listen. But any seeker will find. The disciples came and said, Lord, show us this parable. Did he say, no, I'm not going to show it to you? Do you think that if one of the Pharisees had come and said, Lord, explain this parable to me, he would have explained it? Of course he would have. But what he was saying is, if you want to know the truth, you got to dig deeper. You have to have a hunger for it. You have to want to know the truth. And so the revelation of God is there for the entire human race. But many people choose to ignore it. They don't believe the Bible, or they pick up the Bible and they like certain parts of the Bible. Okay, this is the parts that I like, and these parts I don't like. But what does it say here? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Listen, if you wanted to say, well, gee, I wish I heard everybody would just preach about heaven. Well, there is also a message about what? Hell. There is a hell, and there is a heaven. We need to know both places. Or because the Bible reveals both places. There is judgment and there is mercy. There is condemnation for sin, but there is deliverance from condemnation through the cross. Because I'll tell you what, the cross doesn't mean very much if you don't know what you're being saved from. Deliverance doesn't mean anything if you don't know what you're being delivered from. But when you're delivered from sin and delivered into the arms of God and the forgiveness of sins, we have something. The truth sets us free. I need every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now in 2 Timothy 3:14, here's Paul writing to Timothy, who is a man who was called to be continually sowing, a man who was called to preach the word. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That from childhood you have known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What a summary statement here. Hidden right is, what a jewel in this passage of Scripture. The Scriptures are able to make you wise to be saved through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so that, in a sense, in the Old Testament, there was... It was hard to figure it all out. But when Jesus comes, he's kind of like, it's like the key that unlocks the whole of the Old Testament. And suddenly you can be wise for salvation. You can know the truth. You can be saved. You can be saved through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, by knowing the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? And then we have this statement, just so you can understand the value of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. It's God-breathed. Oh, yeah, but it was John that wrote that. It wasn't Jesus. It's God-breathed. All Scripture. That's Old and New Testament alike. All of the revelation of God to men is breathed by God. I don't want to tamper with that. I don't want to change that. I don't want to try to make it say something that it isn't, doesn't. And I've been running into more and more people who are coming up with the most fanciful interpretations of the Bible. Listen, I said this before, if the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, don't look for other sense. It's enough. The Word of God is enough. Praise God, His revelation stands the test of time. Yes, but culturally, we don't do things like this anymore. So what? What does the Bible say? I'm going to go by what the Word of God says. I must. I must stand on the Word of God no matter where the culture goes. And the culture is going south fast. But the Word of God still stands sure. All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. I need to know doctrine. There's another move on. We don't need theology anymore. We don't need to know doctrine anymore. We just need to know, you know, we just want to experience God. You're not going to experience God if you don't know the truth about God. Theology is important. That is the study of God. I need to know what God has to say. And the only way I'm going to find out what God truly has to say is to open up the Word of God and find out who He is. Because this is what it is. It's doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine. That was the first thing listed here, which is important. Because if you don't have the right doctrine, it doesn't matter what you got on the other end. And that's what I said again about the seed. If you have the wrong seed, you're not going to get the right results on the other end. I need to know the truth. Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will, it will set you free. So we have right doctrine. And then for reproof, oh, and then that's the part we don't like. That is, show you up where you're wrong. People don't like to be told they're wrong. People don't know that they're sinners. I'll tell you, I've heard somebody say, well, there's no, you don't have to preach to people. And somebody actually told me this. You don't have to tell people they're sinners anymore. Everybody already knows they're sinners. Not in our culture. They don't even know what sin is. They need to know their sin. They're sinners. Because if they don't know they're sinners, they're not going to look for a Savior, are they? No. And so what does it say? It's profitable for reproof. That is to show you up where you're wrong. Listen, if you open the Word of God and it convicts you, then take that conviction and get on your knees. Don't run away from it. Say, yes, God, I see where I'm wrong. Because God just doesn't want to leave you where you're wrong. If all God did was show you where you were wrong, that would be a miserable thing. You'd be left in your misery. But notice the next thing, for correction, to fix it. So God shows you where you're wrong, but He also shows you how to fix it. Isn't that what He does? Praise God. He shows you where you're wrong. He shows you that you're sinners. That's the gospel, friends. The gospel is a revelation of who God is. You need that. The gospel is a revelation that you're a sinner where you're wrong. And then the gospel is how to make it right. Praise God. Through the cross. Through what Jesus has done. He can fix anything. He can fix the most broken hearts and the most broken lives because that's what God does. But it's through His Word that those truths are revealed to us and for instruction in righteousness, how to go forward, how to live this Christian life, so that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Imagine. This is what the Word of God does. It brings you into a place where you understand who God is, we understand who you are, we understand what needs to be done to fix you, to save you, and also you understand what it needs, what you need in order to live a life that is pleasing to God, that's empowered, that will thoroughly equip you for every good work. Now there's a summary of the wonderful truth of the Word of God, this precious seed. And I love this old passage in Psalm 126:5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing a harvest or his sheaves with him. Psalm 126. Here the psalmist is way back in the Old Testament is saying, yes, it's difficult at times to sow the Word of God. And this is more have to do with the sower, but I want you to know they're bearing seed. And I love the old King James because it says bearing precious seed. But the idea behind it is I've got this seed and I'm going to go out and sow. And I'm going to go out and sow in expectation of what? Of what? Of a harvest, right? What farmer would ever bother to go out and sow seed if he didn't expect a harvest? Would you? Would you plant a garden if you didn't expect to get anything from it? Now, I've done that a few times. That's why I don't plant gardens anymore. But there's an expectation of a harvest. And, you know, when I talk to people who are into gardening, you know, it's not long before they talk about their garden and how it's doing. Whether it's doing poorly, not getting enough rain. It goes on and on. Because they're watching for the harvest. And they expect a harvest for it. And that's exactly what it says here. But here, that speaks about a harvest that where there's great effort involved. Where it isn't easy. Where there is a struggle involved. But it's worth it at the end of the road. Sow the Word of God. This is what we sow. And I want to say this. You can tell lots of stories. We can, there's lots of books. Listen, you go into a Christian bookstore today, and I almost gave up on going to Christian bookstores. Why? Because if you're looking for a Bible, it'd be hard to find one. There are so many books about so much stuff. Three quarters of them are fiction. They are. They're fiction stories, and some of them are nice. That's okay, to a degree. But you can't live on that. You can't grow on that. And I'll tell you what, you can't grow on somebody else's writings either. You need to grow by the Word of God. Peter writes and he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. You can't feed your soul on everybody else. You need to feed your soul on the truth of the Word of God. It is God's Word that has this power to change lives. It's God's Word that carries that kind of authority, that speaks into life and into situations. Open the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. If you're not good at reading, then get the recordings of the Word of God and listen to the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the truth. Memorize the Word of God. This is not trivial. This is life. This is what God offers to us through His Son. He offers us the truth. Timothy was told, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. There's a summary again of some of the things we already saw that we spoke about what the word of God would do. But the first admonition here is to what? Preach the word. Jesus said, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Preach the word. Teach the word. Don't get away from that. You know, sometimes you get into a meeting and people say, you know, well, what happened to you? What's your experience? So everybody talks about their experience, which is a good thing. But the Word of God needs to be central, doesn't it? It needs to be the very center of it. You know what it says here in Romans 10:14? How shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So when the sower is necessary, right? Sower is necessary. We've got that here. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, how can they believe if they haven't heard of him? And how can they hear of him unless somebody shares the truth? And what are they going to share the truth from? The Word of God. They're going to share the truth from the Word of God. This Word, this truth, this incredible truth of what God has revealed to us. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, Hebrews 4:12, and the joints and marrow is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. No creature is hidden from His sight, now we have the Lord here, but all things are naked and open and to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. This Word can pierce inside. This Word can reveal things. This is the Word of the Lord, and the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. Look in Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Bible burns into people's souls. It brings the conviction that's needed. As a matter of fact, when Peter stood up and preached to those people on the day of Pentecost, he preached the truth from the Word. And as he did, it tells us they were pricked to the heart. They were convicted of their need. And they said, what must we do? And of course, they received salvation on that day. There's great warning that comes to bear witness to the Word of God. In Hebrews 2:1, it says here, we must give more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest we drift away. And for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. He says, listen, you better pay attention because God has spoken. In John 12:47, Jesus said, if anyone hears my words and doesn't believe, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. What is it? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The truth will judge people. A lot of times, people have asked me questions. What do you think about this? And I'll say, well, this is what the Bible says. No, I want to know what you think. Well, this is what the Word of God says. What I think is not going to matter. What God says is the final say on the matter. And so what I think, I hope what I think, is what God says. So I'm going to keep referring to the Word of God. And so the Bibles encourage us to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. James 1:21. Isn't that wonderful? Receive with meekness, that is humility, the implanted word of God which is able to save your souls. Boy, that's pretty plain, isn't it? And then it goes on to speak of not being just a hearer but a doer of the word. We'll get to that. We look at it the next time. And then, of course, some people who listen to the word of God, they're like a man whose house was built on a rock. It stood the storm, Matthew chapter 7, 24 and 25. But then, of course, those who don't build their house on the sayings of Jesus, they don't build their house on the truth of the word, their house will crash, and great will be its fall, Matthew 7, 27. And the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And even when Jesus comes at the end of the age, it says, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. What does that mean? A sword out of his mouth. The Word of God. He will judge by the Word that He has already given, friends. Don't go looking for some new Word. It's already been revealed. The revelation of God has already been given. The seed of the truth of the Word of God is being sown. The question is, what kind of heart do you have? What kind of heart do you have? What kind of soil is in here? Is it hard? Is it stony? Is it full of brambles and briars? Or is it a heart that's prepared to receive the Word of God alone and accept the truth of God for your soul? Because where that seed falls, it will bear fruit in the good soil, no fruit anywhere else. We'll get to that in another lesson, but what I want to encourage you today is to take a fresh look at God's Word. Have a fresh respect for its power, for its truth. And we live in an age where there's so many ideas and modern ideas that we can come up with. Matter of fact, there's so many ideas out there. I was talking to somebody recently. They said, well, we don't want to share the gospel with people. Maybe down the road we will. We don't even tell people that they're Christians. We'll just come and we'll be friends with them, maybe even for a couple of years, and then we might slip in from the back door. I says, I ain't going to do that. The Word of God transforms people's lives. All the methods that we can come up with will not match the truth of Scripture as it burns in your soul. It is the truth that sets people free. And we will continue to proclaim it and rejoice in it and thank God for it. Now, we don't worship the Bible. Don't get me wrong. The Bible is the revelation of God. So we worship God. But the Bible is God's method of revealing the truth to the world. Stand by it. Believe it. It's precious seed, friends. And God didn't make any mistake. Somebody in Ontario made a terrible mistake. And the wrong kind of seed. Sorry for Ontarians, okay? For poor Malcolm. He talked about that for years afterwards. For that bad lot of seed that he got. But somebody made a mistake. And that mistake was costly. And God didn't make a mistake. When he gave you his word, it was pure. It's It's pure. It's perfect. Can't be added to. Can't be taken away from. And we dare not do either. Let's preach the word. Let's share the word. Let's receive the word. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never received the word of God into your soul. You can receive the truth. You can be saved today because Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved and we can know it. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you, Lord, that we have precious seed to bring to a broken and lost world. We praise you, Lord, that we can stand on this old path and we can be certain that this is the truth, that the Word of God is the true seed that needs to be shared with the world. We thank you for the value of the Bible. We praise you for the treasure that we have in the truth. And the Word of God says, buy the truth and sell it not. Oh Lord, open our eyes and show us what it is to have your word and to be able to proclaim it. We know there are people right now that would long to have a Bible, and we have so many of them. May we read them. May we listen to what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Years ago, I was on a mission in Guatemala, and we had 600 preachers come from Guatemala, from I can't even think of the country just south of it. Anyway, what's that? The Honduras, that's right. The Honduras, and there were 600 preachers that came to this conference, 3-day conference. And at the end of the conference, everybody got a Bible. And we got them, it was a Thompson Chain Bible with in Spanish with all the, it's a cross-reference Bible. And people walked for a week to get there to that conference. And they were so dirt poor. Many of them did not have a full Bible of their own. They didn't have one. And yet they were the preacher in the village. They couldn't afford one. And at the end of that conference, we presented a Bible to every one of them. And if you watch them, those come. And you watch them fall on their knees and gloria a Dios, and hold that Bible and hug it. Not that they were worshiping the Bible, but now they had the whole Bible for themselves to be able to share with their people. These were the preachers. The appreciation that they had for the Word of God. Boy, I'll tell you, we have no idea what we have in our hands. You don't have any idea the dynamite that you have in your hands when you hold the Word of God, the truth that is there to be able to be read and to receive into your life and to be transformed by it. They appreciated it. I'm afraid sometimes we don't. What precious seed we have. Taking it into our own souls and then liberally sharing this truth with everyone else. The Word of God. Amen.